It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Democrats and Republicans came together during the 2017 legislative session to work on foster care. Numerous foster parents, would-be foster parents, and state agency employees who administer the foster care program testified before legislators who created a task force for that recommended improvements to the system. Those improvements included making foster care more attractive to younger parents. We're talking today in the State Capitol Report with two lawmakers who headed the foster care task force and issued the final report this week. Steve Doyle is the Democratic state representative from Onalaska. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning.
And Patrick Snyder is the Republican state representative from Schofield. He joins us from WPR Studios in Wausau. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Well, good morning, Carrie, and hello, Steve.
Good morning.
So, Representative Snyder, give us a refresher. What was the goal of this task force, and how did it start?
Well, it started, actually, the speaker announced it in late June of 2017, and said that this had come up to be enough of an initiative that we had to act as a legislature, as a government, in helping to intervene in this crisis that was beginning and continuing here for the state of Wisconsin. So he asked me if I would like to be a co-chair for this great task force, and I was honored for it. I had a little bit of a background as I am on the administrative review panel for the Marathon County Social Services. And so I have been doing that for a few years, and a lot of the cases, in fact, every case that I went to in the review panel had to do with parents who had their children removed because of drug convictions or something to do with drugs in the home. So I knew that it was becoming a problem. And then we formulated the committee in July and had our late July had the first meeting. Steve and I and our offices, as well as our staff, worked so well together as we put this together, had our six different meetings. And our goal specifically, and Steve can elaborate on this too, was threefold. We wanted to look at the foster care system before they entered the foster care system, the at-risk families, the red flags that maybe showed that a child was going to be removed from their parents, and try to do something on that front. And then the second part was the foster children and the foster parents themselves, things we could do to strengthen their commitment as well as strengthen their whole environment to make sure it stayed stable because of the trauma that these kids were going through. And then thirdly, we wanted to look at the aging out process. What happened to these young men and women when they reached 18 that they didn't, fall to the wayside? So those were our focuses.
So Representative Doyle, Representative Snyder just used the word crisis. Why was the foster care system in crisis to begin with?
Well, I think, and crisis is a term that we use carefully to describe the what I'll call the outside situation, which is looking at things like, say, the opioid issue and other drug abuse that we're seeing around the state and around the country. The foster care system itself was in need, and so we're trying to respond to the crisis by fixing or improving the foster care system as much as possible. One of the stories that really struck me the strongest when we were at our various public hearings was the Human Services Director from, I think it was Clark County, came and told us a story about how pervasive the use of drugs is around the state, and even in a small county like Clark County. And what he said was, they get calls every once in a while from households where there is a belief that there's opioid use going on, meth or other drugs. And because of the concern with the social worker safety, the social workers themselves have to go out wearing hazmat suits. So if you imagine, say, a two-year-old child in that home and, people coming in wearing hazmat suits to essentially remove you from that home, that's a pretty traumatic thing. And so when we talk about the word crisis, it's how do we deal with situations that we hadn't really dealt with in the past, where what we used to see was, as Judge Gonzalez in La Crosse described it, as filth and squalor cases. Somebody had a bad house, and if we clean it up, the kids can go back in. It's not the case in that regard with opioids and other hard drugs, and so we really had to adapt to that changing climate.
So opioids are used by what we would think of or used to think of as middle-class people.
Yeah, you know, this is not a crisis that is limited to, poor people. We're seeing all age levels. We're seeing all economic levels, also social levels. It really is something that really cuts across lines. And people that you wouldn't expect to be, as they say, in the system, surprisingly, are showing up in the system.
So the hazmat suits, I want to clarify that. That is because sometimes opioids or heroin or whatever people are taking is cut with something that can be spread really easily. And there have been some issues with police officers dropping after arresting somebody. Is that why the hazmat suits are being used?
Yeah, exactly. If you're using various types of drugs, it gets into your system and then it comes out through your pores. And so if you touch certain things or you have certain, equipment around the house that you're using for the drugs, it can contaminate the social workers. And so literally some of the kids that have been tested have as high a drug count in their system as the parents do, simply because, mom or dad is holding this infant and that the drugs are passing from one to the other. That's the kind of situation that we're looking at.
Representative Snyder and Representative Doyle are co-chairs of the Speaker's Task Force on Foster Care. We're talking about the task force's final report. Did you testify at one of the public hearings around the state in the last year about the foster care system? What did you share? Are you happy about this legislation that got passed last year? What changes do you still want to see? What hopes do you have for future care efforts? I want to hear from both of you on this, representatives. As you were considering the issues and hearing from people on foster care around the state, what did you, other than the tremendous breadth, it seems, of the opioid crisis, what else did you learn about the foster care system itself that surprised you? Representative Snyder?
Oh, you wanted me to go first?
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Okay. I think that and maybe Representative Doyle would feel the same, but I think what we heard from were the foster families themselves when it came to the permanence in the child's life, especially some of the younger kids, school age kids, grade school, that we had testimony that, especially in Wausau here, a couple from Wittenberg had two young girls. They were sisters, and they had been trying to adopt them. They'd been out of home with their biological mom for approximately 3 or 4 years, and the system just seems to be failing. The mom wasn't responding as far as the court orders to be reunified, and I think the young girls were afraid that they were going to be going back to their biological mother and taken away from really the only home they've been able to know, because both were early in the grade school era. And I think we heard from a lot of the foster care parents who are truly heroes out there to open up their hearts and homes to these kids, that they would like to see a little bit more consistency when it came to termination of parental rights. I think as a state we want to reunify, but when a certain situation occurs that again and again the biological mom or the father just can't seem to come to the terms needed that the courts put out to be reunified, that we need to put the kid first and put that child in more stable and loving environment, and we do have a lot of folks. I guess that was probably the most I heard was from the foster parents and the ability to get these kids in a stable environment, because as Steve mentioned before, the trauma that they suffer, and I don't know, Carrie, I'm sure you're familiar with the ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences, but mm-hmm. the number of ACEs when they get to 3, 4, this can this stress level can affect these children as they become adults, and we've seen the cycle continue then when they're adults with children, seeing their children removed because of the trauma they had earlier in their lives. So that's what we want to try to stop.
Representative Doyle, what about you? What surprised you in the hearings?
I want to pick up on the theme that Pat talked about, which is instability. So often what we learned is that these kids are like ping pong balls bouncing from home to home. And frequently what it is so they're, you know, in their parents' home, they're removed, they go to a foster home, they, you know, the parents clean up their act a little bit, the kids go back to their home, it doesn't work out, and now they kind of come out again. Well, the first foster home is full, so now they go to a different one.
Right.
And we've learned about kids that, you know, by the time they're in their teens, have been to, you know, a dozen and a half different foster homes. You know, that kind of instability is a lifelong effect. And so, you know, between the rules that kept the kids back and forth and back and forth, between social work or burnout, where you have different people dealing
right.
with the case over and over, we just saw so much instability, and that was
so. Let's address that instability when we get back, because there's this tension between wanting kids back with their biological parents, and then that not being able to happen. We are talking on the State Capitol Report about a new recommendation for foster care systems. It's the Morning Show. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking to Representative Patrick Snyder and Representative Steve Doyle on this edition of State Capitol Report. They are co-chairs of the Speaker's Task Force on Foster Care. The task force just issued its final report on strengthening foster care in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234. That is the number that we want you to call to talk to the representatives about foster care. 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Are you a foster care provider? What do you need that will help you care for your charges? Are you happy with the changes that the task force has come up with? Do you want to foster? Well, give us a call, 800-642-1234. So, Representative Doyle, let's continue our look at the legislation that the governor actually signed off on last year. There's a heavy burden on those who care for foster children. What did the task force suggest for measures when it comes to supporting providers themselves?
Well, one thing that I think is really important to recognize is that foster parents aren't doing this for the money. You don't get rich being a foster parent. And in fact, it sometimes costs you money when you look at the various collateral types of expenses. So one of the bills that was passed was it provides money for foster parents to buy things like maybe a swimming pool pass for the summer or a summer rec program or supplies for school and so forth, things that otherwise the foster parent would have to dip into their own pocket for. You know, it's not a lot of money, but it does show our foster parents that, hey, you know, we appreciate what you're doing and you shouldn't have to go broke. Well, one of the things along those lines I would really emphasize is in La Crosse, we give our foster parents T-shirts that say, I'm an everyday hero. And these folks really are everyday heroes. They're heroes every day to these kids. And so it was a non-controversial measure to simply say, you know, let's give them a little bit of help.
Representative Snyder, two pieces of legislation that got developed by the task force didn't actually get passed by the legislature. What happened to those pieces?
Well, they didn't quite have the amount of support they needed in the Senate side of things, and I don't even know if I don't think they even got out of committee. And the two that we were dealing with was a more comprehensive study on the effects of drugs and opiates on our social service agencies, and we wanted to see the impact, because I know from 2012 until now in Marathon County, our out-of-home placement for kids has, I think, gone from 74 to well over or close to 300 kids that are out of home. So that increase had the margin of it had to be to do with drugs. So unfortunately, that didn't make it. And then every child who's in foster care through the federal government does have some of the college tuition and fees covered for if they want to move on to higher education after they age out at 18. There were some tuition and fees that weren't quite covered, and this bill would have allowed the state of Wisconsin universities, colleges, technical schools to be able to be reimbursed on the remaining tuition or fees that a foster child needed for furthering the education. And it just didn't evidently set well enough to get out of committee in the Senate to get voted on. So that'll be something we need to go back and readdress to see if we can work it out so the kids that are 18 and aging out, we can't forget about them. We need to break that cycle. I don't know if Steve, I know, remembers in Milwaukee, we had a young woman who was 30 years old that had a toddler with her. She had voluntarily terminated her parental rights on her first two children she had earlier and had her third toddler with her. And she said if we would have had the opportunities or some of the initiatives that we were putting forward in this task force available 20 years ago, she wouldn't have been in foster care from her mother. That's the type of things that we want to try to break that cycle. So
Representative Doyle, what are those kinds of things that you're putting forth that didn't help the last generation that might help this generation?
Very few kids who spend a lot of time in foster care actually go to college, and fewer yet actually graduate from college. And so what we are trying to do, as Pat said, is to break that cycle. So if we can get, a little bit of assistance, now they've got to have some skin in the game. We're going to, expect them to pay a portion of their tuition. But if we can give them that extra boost to get into college and then to graduate from college, you're taking then somebody who is going to be in the system for the rest of their life as a parent eventually and turning them into somebody that is going to be a healthy, well-rounded adult. That's one of the things that was really missing in the past and that we were hoping that this tuition remission bill would address.
So here's my question here. What if you are a foster kid and you're aging out and you already have a child? Do they get daycare while they're going to college? There are all sorts of issues that come up when you have a child that you need to take care of while you're working or going to school.
Well, a foster child in that regard is going to be like any parent. There are certain qualifications for things like child care subsidies, food stamps, and so forth. And what we're looking at, though, is that foster kids have a special type of need. They're really at a disadvantage compared to almost anyone else just because of the instability that they've had in their life. And maybe to take this group of people and give them a little bit of extra help, in addition to, the child care, a little bit more assistance with the tuition, some peer support programs that one of our universities has that's been very successful. So we're looking at things like that.
We are talking about the foster care system in Wisconsin. A task force just issued its final report to improve some experiences with the foster care system. Are you a foster parent? What was your experience? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Bailey from Eau Claire is calling with a question. Welcome to the show, Bailey.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
So what is your question? Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering, how long is the average child in foster care?
That's a great question. Representative Snyder, you want to take that? How long is the average child in foster care?
Well, with the situation with the opioids and meth, it's a lot longer than it used to be. Mm-hmm. I don't have the exact number in front of me. But if someone is removed from their home, let's say, I do know that the average age a child is removed from their family is, for the first time, is around 6 or 7 years of age. And it can be, anywhere from 2 to 5 years, depending on how the biological parents do in their comeback. Sometimes one of the biological parents is incarcerated, and it might be several years there, and then you try to work with the other parent to get them through their problems with addiction. So it does vary, but to the point the matter is that what's scary about this is when they get to the point where they maybe haven't been reunited, they haven't been adopted, and they age out of foster care, the scary part is for the state is that 1 out of 5 of these aged out kids will become homeless. Only 1 out of 4 will have a job at the age of 24. And there's a very strong likelihood that 1 out of 2 of the aged out foster care kids will become incarcerated in our system. So that's why I lean heavily on trying to reach those kids when they get in their teen years if they haven't found stability back with their biological parents. But I would say, and Steve, maybe you know better, that it's somewhere, between the 3 to 5 year on average.
I think that's correct.
Steve, what we're trying to get these kids into school. Are we doing anything for them in high school to sort of get them set for college? Because it's not just a matter of having money. It's a matter of being ready to be in college. And what else are we doing to support them so that the statistics that Representative Snyder just cited don't actually come true for them?
Well, and that really is the case, is that, you know, we do give them some assistance through their foster parents, and the social workers try to develop an individualized program for the kids along with the school district. And so many of them will have some additional supports that will help them along the way when they're in, grade school, middle school, high school, that then just totally disappear as soon as they get out of high school. Mm-hmm. And that was a concern there. But while they're in high school and middle school, what we're looking for more than anything is stability. We can give them some, vocational and educational training, but if they're bouncing from, say in La Crosse County here, if they're bouncing from a foster home in Onalaska back to mom and dad, then to a foster home in Bangor, back to mom and dad, then, foster home in La Crosse, they're bouncing from school district to school district, and that's been a big part of the problem, is that lack of stability. And if we can get a handle on that, that's going to help these kids a lot, just that in and of itself.
You know, when kids turn 18, they can no longer stay in the foster home that they may have been in for, 3 years, 4 years. What happens to them where do they live? And that's actually my question. We may actually have them go to school. We may give them tuition, but where are they going to live?
Well, I know that we heard from our reports in the different cities, we had some of the professional staffs with the social services, and they just come out and say that a lot of times these kids will end up going back to the biological parents after they're 18, even though the biological parents didn't meet the qualifications for the reunification at the time. So, they're 18, they can do what they want to do, and a lot of times that happens. They do get back with that negative situation or that negative environment. I do know, though, there are a lot of foster parents that these kids become part of the family. And I know that they say they're welcome to stay with them, or they stay in contact with them even after they age out. And that's so important. We also, if they do choose to go to school, we've seen some universities step forward, like Stout, Whitewater, that identify the kids that might come from foster families, that they are welcome to these universities and kind of taken in and not left alone. So when holiday weekends come up and they might not have anywhere to go, they find families there in the cities that they're going to school in to be able to spend time with, so they don't feel like they're left outside that type of environment. So those sort of things to make them feel welcome. And I think, too, a lot of our social service agencies do, when they are 16 years of age, they do independent living instruction to start having these young men and women realize what they might have to do when they get out. But I would like to see some type of mentoring program, if we could, like we have foster parents, maybe have a mentoring program for these young adults when they turn 18 to, if they don't want to maybe go on to higher education right away, to find another employment opportunity. And we have so many great things like the trade schools. We have a great carpentry school here in Wausau, trade school down in Wisconsin Rapids, plumbers. So, find things that could get them some great careers and maybe, keep them, as Steve mentioned so much before, keeping them in a stable environment, because they've been, pushed around as far as going from home to home and having a lot of trauma earlier in their lives.
We had a caller to say that he's a nurse, and he deals with kids who have PTSD, kids who are bounced around, kids who have come from homes where there's opioid addiction. What are we doing to treat the PTSD of children in foster care? And how are the parents, how are the foster care parents being trained for this?
That's one of the big issues that we talked about, is that it is a different world that we're in at this point. One of the bills that we had that passed deals with this, what was called a nine-month look-ahead, where if a person is in the process of a termination of parental rights, there's a two-step process where the court first looks, are the grounds there to, you know, potentially terminate, you know, the abuse or neglect or what have you. And then the second hearing on the question of whether the parent would, within the next 9 months, likely, you know, remedy the situation. And so what we had in the case of the opiates is that a person would get to the point where the kids are removed, it looks like we're going to terminate, but then the question comes up, might they get their act together within the next 9 months? And with opiates, as we saw so often, they're okay for a while, but then they slip. And then they're okay, and then they slip. And mm-hmm. so these kids were, you know, in limbo where it was just, you know, dragging on and dragging on. And so what would otherwise be maybe a couple-year process was, you know, 4, 6, maybe even 8 years that go on and on as the child's bouncing back and forth. You know, so we're trying to deal with that, the stability. And so we took care of that 9 month look forward and make it easier in those cases that are going to be the repeat problems to, you know, to terminate if it's appropriate. But, you know, also what we're looking at is specific training for our foster parents. We're not talking about kids anymore who come out of a house that's just dirty. We're talking about kids who come out of a house that has major dysfunction with drug use, with, you know, physical, emotional, sexual abuse. And so our foster parents have to have some special training to be able to deal with kids with PTSD. These are, in some cases, fairly, you know, high-need kids, fairly traumatized kids that, you know, you're going to have to do some special attention with.
Representative Snyder, this sounds to me like more of an opioid crisis than it is a foster care crisis, that the foster kids are coming because opioids are in such great use.
Well, I think that's helped escalate it. I don't think it's the only problem, but as I had mentioned earlier, in Marathon County in 2012, we had probably some of the lowest numbers we've had in a long time. And I think the opioids and the meth and drugs in general did escalate it and just kind of overwhelm our social services agencies. But let me kind of come back to what you mentioned earlier and about the caller who that was a nurse. I have to agree immensely on the post-traumatic stress on these kids. Just imagine yourself, if you're driving in a car and suddenly somebody pulls in front of you, or you have that startling moment, you might get in an accident and you stop and avoid it, but try to feel how your knees get weak, your heart beats high, and the stress level is high, and then you come down. So what these kids in this environment, where there's drugs, where there's abuse, where there's violence, they're in this state time after time after time, several times in a day. They never can relax. So that's the stress. One of the bills we mentioned in here is the stigma on mental health. You know, so many times if a foster parent will get a child, they might have an allergy to something or they might have asthma. Those medical records are transmitted to the foster parent saying, this is the medical condition. Well, when it comes to the mental health, the therapist working with these child, before we put a bill out and had it signed, they couldn't transmit or tell the foster parents treatment plans for somebody they're working on with the psychological or mental issues they might be having. So we have that bill allowed them now to, and this kind of stemmed from a case, I believe it was in La Crosse, Steve, that we had it where a young child was hoarding food up in his bed under his pillow.
Oh.
And the foster parents didn't even know this was happening. And finally, you know, the therapist said, hey, you might try this. The reason they're doing this, because when they were in their biological parents' home, they didn't eat much, so they hoarded food so they have something for later. And that's, we made it, you know, the stigma on mental health has to be treated like we do with our medical help and help these kids with the therapy and have the foster parents. Doesn't mean they're getting all their medical records on that, but at least allow them to be able to work with the therapist or the psychiatrist on the treatment for this child.
We are talking about the foster care system in Wisconsin. A new a task force actually just ended its tenure with a final report and recommendations. We're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Were you in foster care? Tell us about your experience. Are you a foster care parent? Tell us about your experience. We're going to explore the rights of foster care parents and children in a moment. It's The Morning Show. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking about recommendations of a foster care task force headed by State Representatives Patrick Snyder and Stephen Doyle. Both assemblymen are with us this morning for the State Capitol Report. Do you think the rules we've been discussing will make Wisconsin's foster care system better? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now, Representative Doyle, we left off talking about PTSD, and we have somebody with another question about PTSD. Diane, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm a recovering person myself. I've been clean from heroin and all drugs and alcohol for almost 30 years.
Good for you.
And one of the things I have seen, as I am still an active participant in a 12-step program, is when these individuals are coming off of drugs and working to recover and working to get their lives together, looking at handing their children back to them potentially within 9 months is obviously inappropriate in my mind. And I just, how informed is the social services system about understanding the PTSD in these children and what they're putting these children through in returning them to their parents?
Thank you for that question, Diane. So, Representative Doyle, let's explore that a little bit. Is it unreasonable to think that you can return the kids to their parents in a short enough amount of time so that you can stop them from having PTSD?
That was exactly the concern that so many of our professionals came to us with, that we're trying to move things too quickly and that the law really forced us to move too quickly in returning kids where the parents weren't ready. And in fact, it was unhelpful to put the kids back in there for the parents who are trying to do their recovery. And so what we wanted to do was, relax that time frame a little bit, but B, give our families and our social workers and our experts better training in how to deal with the new wave of opioids. What we're seeing is that it's not a quick fix, kind of like alcoholism. It's something where it's going to be with you forever. In the case of opioids, a lot of times what we would see is, somebody makes a good 3-month recovery, looks like they're going to be fine, and then a month or two later, they're back at it. Putting kids into that mix, we saw, was really, unhelpful in terms of advancing their recovery. But it's a fine line. We have, the concept of parental rights pretty strong in our country. And to simply say, well, you've screwed up, you're on drugs, your kids are going to be taken forever, was a concern that people raised. But on the other hand, kids have rights, too. And they have the right to stability and a helpful, healthy, nurturing home. And so that was what we're trying to balance out with our foster parents, with our social workers.
So, Representative Snyder, does the new legislation that this task force came up with, does it reduce that bouncing back and forth and give parents more time to recover and kids more time with one foster family?
It's starting. It's starting. It's not totally there. There's still some things we need to fine tune. But I do agree. We even talked about, I don't know if it's legislation, but we talked about mentoring families. So many times, I don't know if you saw a few weeks back, 60 Minutes had a profile on how many grandparents are taking care of their grandchildren now because their own kids, daughters and sons are having drug problems. So, they're seeing their retirement savings and things like that go up because they're now taking care of their grandchildren. I think it would be great to see like mentoring families. Like we have the foster kids in a family, and then when someone is in rehabilitation for drugs, and like the caller said, it's the stress level that maybe will trigger someone to fall back into using is there, and the stress level of young kids in the household could be that. So I do agree. It'd be great if a mentoring family could take in that biological parent as far as, like, maybe not live with them, but at least be together with them when they're with their children, so they ease them back in into that environment and give them more time to strengthen their ability to stay off the drugs. So
make them part of their life. Have them over for dinner a few days a week. Have them
exactly.
over on the weekend to hang out with their kids.
Right. So, and right now they do have, they have court-ordered visitation and things to that nature where the kids will come and have that. But I just sometimes, for more times than not, these kids that have their own children in foster care were experienced in foster care when they were a child. And so sometimes they just need to have someone that watches out for them, that cares about them as well as their kids. And I would like to see that come to more fruition, to let them know that, they love their kids, but these folks know what they're going through and want to see this family reunified and move forward in the best success they can.
And are foster care parents ready and willing to do that, to actually take in the parent that has the issue that their kids were taken away from to begin with?
I don't think that the majority are, because you got to realize that some of the foster parents that have foster kids have young kids of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of our older foster families, and I know there's some up here that their own biological kids are up and grown and out of the house, and they will have foster kids, could do something like that. And I guess I lean more towards some of the young mothers or young dads from 18 to 25 that maybe had a child or two during that time span that still, in my mind, are young adults, young
right.
kids, and they could use that mentoring, that adult support system in their lives as well.
Representative Doyle, talk to me about the Foster Parent Bill of Rights.
Well, the Foster Parent Bill of Rights is something that we heard from a number of different people as we were going to the public hearings, because what we wanted to make sure was that, we treat that key component of the system, that being the foster parent, as favorably as we can. And so a Foster Parent Bill of Rights gives things like information, for example, training, adequate support, a role in the process. We also, and it's kind of an extension from that, but we have the CASA program that the court appointed special advocates, which brings in people to come to see the kids maybe once a week or so to report back to the court. What we're trying to do with the foster parents is to just give them as much support as possible to make them feel like they are part of the process and not just, okay, you take the kids and we're going to deal with the situation over here and you kind of do your own thing. That was one of the things that we heard so often from our foster parents, is that they didn't feel like, A, they were listened to, or B, that they knew what the rest of the situation was. So we're looking at trying to, kind of reframe the system to look at it from the foster parents' standpoint rather than just kind of the bureaucracy standpoint.
So talk to me now about the Foster Child Bill of Rights.
Well, the foster child, we're saying, has the right to stability, the right to a safe, healthy, nurturing home. What we would like the foster child to have the right to is to, as Pat talked about repeatedly, is to continue to get services after they've aged out, so that they're not just having the rug pulled out from under them at age 18. The right to additional supports that can help them in their educational and vocational needs and their mental health needs, recognize them as a human being, which so often they're kind of just components of the system. And we really needed to make sure that we recognize, as our foster parents and social workers do, that these are humans and that these are kids who have some special needs that we have to recognize. We can't just treat them like widgets. They are their kids.
And there's foster care kids. Do they get driver's license when they turn 16? Is this something that we can maybe sort of mentor?
They certainly are eligible to get driver's license at the same time that any other child would. That would be one of those things when we talked about that foster parent support grant program, the money that it takes to do driver's ed and to get that driver's license would be something that a program like that could assist the foster parents with, because obviously that's a significant expense.
Representative, it is. I've got two 15-year-olds. Representative Snyder, the task force identified some interagency communication as something that needs to be addressed. Talk to me about how the government is trying to work better to make this system work.
Well, I think you know that when it comes to different agencies visiting with each other or you know, passing on from, be it the federal level all the way down, even sometimes to the city or town level, things can get lost in the transmission or the translation. We just want to be able to, whatever it takes, be it the school districts and school records for foster kids, the medical records, and again, the mental health records, and the agencies to be able to be totally open and move as fast as they can when it comes to these kids. Because, you know, there's so many times, too, when the parental rights are there and you have to get permission from the biological parent to be able to have a mental health issue addressed for a doctor's office. Just things that we able can speed up. And I think the whole matter that, you know, Steve and I and the task force worked at is we put this in what's best interest for the child. What's the best interest for the child? And, you know, not to say that the other, the foster parents or the biological parents aren't important, but what's the key issue for the child, and what's the communication efforts to help support this and to make sure it can be streamlined and these young men and women, young boys and girls, aren't kind of lost in the system because they've fallen through and one agency didn't get the message from another agency. So streamline it the best we can, and sometimes that's easier said than done when it comes to government.
So in 30 seconds, the task force is done. What are you going to do next to follow up, Representative Snyder?
Well, I think we need to continue working on, first and foremost, I want to say thank you so much to the foster families that have opened up their hearts and homes. It is so impressed to see that. But most importantly, we can't forget about the aging out process and the prevention process. I'm much much more willing to see us invest early in prevention and help these young men and women kind of get their lives straight, because it'll make a healthy life for them and it'll bring a healthy Wisconsin.
A foster care task force set up during last year's legislative session completed its final report last week. The two chairs of this task force, Republican Representative Patrick Snyder, who you just heard, of Schofield, and Democratic Representative Steve Doyle of Onalaska, have been updating us on the group's recommendations. Representative Snyder joined us from WPR Studios in Wausau. Thank you for being with us, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, Carrie. Thanks.
Representative Doyle, thank you for joining us on the State Capitol Report.
Thank you, Carrie.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. I'll be back in a moment with another hour of The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.